Sometimes we get the impression that we can just sail through because we're waiting to get to heaven to get all that God has for us. No, 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 no. God has a ton of spiritual blessings He wants to bless us with right now.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In this evening's broadcast, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, How to Protect Your Spiritual Inheritance. And as the title suggests, our spiritual inheritance, that value and worth of devoted service for Christ and its benefits, is something that must be guarded against damage and loss. Last week, Pastor Grant began this message by centering on three things that Scripture warns will compromise a Christian's spiritual inheritance and bring loss. The first point raised by Pastor Grant had to do with the craziness of unbelief, how crazy it is to refuse to believe God. In citing just how crazy is that idea, Pastor Grant used examples from the wilderness journey of the children of Israel and how they quickly forgot the power of God shown them in their deliverance from bondage in Egypt. Repeatedly, they staggered in unbelief, failing to remember God's power or to believe His promises, and it cost them dearly. As Pastor Brian reminded us from Scripture, God hates unbelief. We will pick up the message now and hear it through to the end. Here again is Pastor Grant and How to Protect Your Spiritual Inheritance.
First, we've looked at the craziness of unbelief. But secondly, let's look at the consequence of unbelief. Hold your finger right here in Numbers chapter 14. But just let's read verse one more time in Hebrews chapter 3. And I just want to read verse 12. Because I want you to realize this passage, this story has nothing to do with these people. It's all about you and me sitting right here today. Here's what God is saying to us. Verse 12, but brethren and sisters, beware. My sister, my brother, beware. Lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. God help us not to develop this evil heart of unbelief. Sometimes we trivialize unbelief. I don't want you to miss what the Bible calls it. It says it's an evil heart. When we start unbelieving, we have developed an evil heart. So what happened to those who rebelled? We're back in Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints that the children of Israel make against me, saying, say to them, as I live, says the Lord. This is what God says to Moses. Here's what you tell them. Just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who are numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. God doesn't play. He says your carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness. God was leading them to Canaan, the land He had promised to give Abraham over 400 years earlier. He had planned a glorious inheritance. I don't want you to miss this. These people were heading for their inheritance. God had planned a glorious inheritance for them. God had promised them rest in this land flowing with milk and honey. No, it's not honey from bees. It's honey from the date palm. God was going to take them into this place, a land flowing with milk and honey. God was going to give them rest. He had promised them their inheritance. But because of unbelief, other than Joshua and Caleb, all the other adults died in the wilderness, and their bodies, their carcasses, were left in the wilderness. Write this down. Despite God's deliverance, Israel never entered Canaan. Probably I should say most of Israel, because the kids did. Despite God's deliverance, they never entered Canaan. They forfeited their inheritance. So what does Canaan represent to us as Christians today? So what does Canaan represent? You can fill that in, because I had a missing there. So what does Canaan represent? You know, many hymns and gospel songs use Canaan as a picture of heaven. But since Canaan was a place of battles and defeats, I don't believe that Canaan would be a good illustration of heaven. For when we get to heaven, there will be no battles, and there certainly won't be any defeats. Am I right about that? Amen? And I would suggest to you, there's another reason that, although the hymnology may suggest that Canaan is heaven, there's another reason. So even if you sing one of these songs that make it seem like Canaan is heaven, it really doesn't fit the pattern here, because again, these people forfeited Canaan, right? But you cannot forfeit your heavenly inheritance. It is impossible for a Christian to lose going to heaven. I need to make that clear, because some of you may be saying, what is the pastor going to speak about today when he talks about protecting my spiritual inheritance? Is he suggesting I can lose my salvation? No, I am not suggesting that, because last week we spent a lot of time emphasizing that once we are in Christ, we cannot lose heaven. We are eternally secure. No one can pluck us out of our Savior's hand. So if Canaan does not represent heaven, what does Canaan represent? Write this down. Canaan represents our spiritual inheritance in Christ right here on earth. You see, my friend, God has spiritual blessings that He wants to pour on us right now. Sometimes we get the impression that we can just sail through because we're waiting to get to heaven to get all that God has for us. No, 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 no. God has a ton of spiritual blessings He wants to bless us with right now. God has big plans for us. Did you hear what I'm saying? God has big plans for us right here on earth. But write this down. This is not in your notes, but add this to your notes. Put this down. If we walk in unbelief, our lives will be a continual wilderness experience. You see that? If we walk in unbelief, our lives will be a continual wilderness experience. And the tragedy is, many Christians' lives are a wilderness experience. It's a up, it's a down. You see, continual is not the same as continuous. Continuous means it never changes, but continual, you got some good days, but then your faith falters and crumbles, and you're back in the depression and the dejection and the throwing in the towel. My friend, if we keep there, if we stay in unbelief, our lives will be a continual wilderness experience. And my friend, what God is warning us today is, don't lose your spiritual inheritance, and you will forfeit your spiritual inheritance if you keep walking in unbelief. You know, Mike Holmgren is a legendary Super Bowl championship coach. Mike got saved at a Billy Graham crusade when he was 11 years old, but his desire to become a pro football player so consumed him that he put God on the back seat for a long time. And then he finally got a chance. He was the backup quarterback to Joe Namath, and then the Jets, New York Jets, cut him. And after the Jets cut him, Mike Holmgren, his faith was shattered. Because, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes we're not walking close to the Savior, but when things go bad, we have a tendency to want to blame him. And so Mike Holmgren felt God had let him down, because God knew this was his dream, to be an NFL pro football player. And look at what God had allowed to happen to him. The New York Jets had now cut him. His dream was over. But you know, in the middle of his funk, God used that opportunity to shake him. Holmgren picked up his Bible and he started to read. And he was reminded of a verse he had memorized in Sunday school. Oh, it's a verse I'm going to encourage you to write down. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know the verse, it's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Mike Holmgren decided that he was going to trust in the Lord with all his heart. This man whose faith was shattered, this man who was in a state of unbelief, that day he decided he was going to trust in the Lord with all his heart. And Mike Holmgren, many of you don't know this part of the Mike Holmgren story, but Mike Holmgren is a man of significant faith. Mike Holmgren, because of his faith, it has impacted many of his players. It has impacted his church. It has impacted his community, his family. Many of us don't know that they frequently go on missions trips around the world. This man, Mike Holmgren, decided that he was going to grab a hold of God, and he was going to put his total faith in him. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody this morning, and because of the disappointments in life, your faith has been shattered. You didn't see what has hit you, the storm that has hit you. You didn't see it coming. And as a result, your faith has been shattered. And this morning, God is saying to you, he wants to remind you of the same verse that inspired Mike Holmgren. Trust in the Lord. You write it down. You go home. You meditate on that verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Sometimes we're leaning on our own understanding. We are only depending on our way to figure it out. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. My friend, God has a spiritual inheritance for you. He has a big plan for you and you and you and you and me. He has big plans for us. But listen, those plans will only come to fruition when we hold on to him, when we trust him, when we walk with him. Amen. The craziness of unbelief. Secondly, the consequence of unbelief. And finally, the cure for unbelief. How can we protect our spiritual inheritance? That's the question on the floor this morning. How can we protect our spiritual inheritance? Go back to Hebrews chapter 3. I want to just give you three quick things here from this text in Hebrews chapter 3. Number one, look at with me at verse number 13. Here's what it says. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Put this down in your notes. Number one, develop relationships of mutual encouragement. My friend, we need each other.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
There is no substitute for being part of a local church where people are committed to walking with Jesus. Notice I added that part. I'm not saying there's no substitute for being a part of a local church, because there are churches and churches. But there is no substitute for being a part of a church where people are committed to walking with Jesus. You may not realize it. It is going to help you. It helps us maintain our life of faith much more than we believe. In the very context where God is challenging them about their unbelief, he says, you better make sure that you hang out, that you develop relationships of mutual encouragement, that you exhort each other daily. So don't isolate yourself and try to be a Lone Ranger Christian. We need to be involved, mutually encouraging each other. I can encourage you, and you can encourage me. And I want to say, even though COVID is going on now, some of you are scared to come out, and I'm not going to, you and the Lord can work on that, because I want everybody to do what they believe God is telling them to do. But even while you're home, you can pick up the phone and call your brother and sister in Christ and pray with them and encourage them in the things of the Lord. We need to make sure we're involved in encouraging and exhorting one another. But you notice what it says here. It says to exhort one another. It means it's a two-way street. I have got to be humble enough to allow you to pour into my life. Sometimes you run into Christians who figure, I got it all together. I can do this by myself. I really don't need your encouragement. If you're one of those, you may have slipped further than you think. Anytime we get to the point where we feel we have got it together and we are the ones who must pour into you, that's not what God says. I have got to humble myself and realize that by the grace of God, I need my brother and sister, and I need their encouragement, and I'm thankful for all of you who encourage me. We must pour into each other. But don't be that selfish that you only believe you should be on the getting side all the while. Some people, all they want is to get. What about you exhorting somebody? You got to start pouring to somebody as well. Am I right about that? It's a two-way street. But listen, my time is getting away from me. But let's run quickly over to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's just look at two verses there that I have to look at because they're so relevant today. Hebrews 10:24. And he's still talking about exhorting one another. And this is what he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let's remember now, the whole book of Hebrews has the same audience in mind. It's talking to the Jewish Christians, and he's talking to us by extension. And verse 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You notice what he says? Don't skip getting together as some as are in the habit of doing. Right now, there are Christians who are making plans that whether this pandemic ends or not, they ain't going back to church because they love to stay at home and get their cup of coffee, and I can watch the service in my jammies with my coffee and my bagel and cream cheese right beside me. Hallelujah. I don't need to go back. Just keep streaming and we'll keep whatever. I hope you realize, if you do that, if that is your mindset, you've already started slipping. Because God is making it very clear, it's a command. But this is not God's suggestion. He says, do not forsake yourselves, the assembling of yourselves. And I just want to encourage you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ who are here this morning and who are watching on the live stream, I just want to encourage you. Listen, you do what God is telling you, but make sure once this pandemic is over, you are back in church. You're not going to say, I'm going to be a Lone Ranger Christian. I listen to the thing on TV. You better be back where God tells you you ought to be. Because if our objective, remember now, our objective is not to lose our spiritual inheritance. God has a big plan, and God is saying one of the ways that he has designed to help us stay on track is the fellowship of the believer, where we come together, because iron will sharpen iron. All right, so let me move on. Number one, develop relationships of mutual encouragement. Number two, keep focused on Christ. Keep focused on Christ. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. The text says some more. You take the time to read it. But my brother and sister, these Jews, if you look, it talks about Moses, who was faithful to him, who appointed him as Moses was faithful. The Jews regarded, these Jewish Christians regarded Moses as their hero. You know, some Christians have a hero. You know, they come, they flick him on, her on. We got a hero. But Jesus has got to be the hero. Because as we saw last week, no one can compare to Jesus. Amen. We need to keep focused on Jesus. We need to stay constantly in his presence. You remember that story in Matthew's Gospel chapter 14 where Peter, the disciples were in the boat and they were in a storm. You remember? And what did they see? They saw Jesus coming on, walking on the water. And Peter said, bid me come to you. And so Jesus told him to come. And Peter got out of the boat. And before we all like, some of us like to criticize poor little Peter. But thank God Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat. Most of us wouldn't have gotten out of the boat. How many of us got out of the boat? Only Peter. But Peter's the one we threw all the stones at. But he got out of the boat. And Peter, when he got out of the boat, he was doing the right thing. He was focused on Jesus, you remember? He was focused on Jesus. But all of a sudden, my goodness, oh my goodness, the storm is pretty rough. The water is rough. And instead of looking at Jesus, he looked at the storm and the waves, and he started to sink. His faith crumbled. And my brother and sister, when we stop focusing on Jesus and focus on the circumstances, our faith is going to crumble. Sister, stop focusing so much on the problem. Stop focusing so much on the problem and focus on Jesus. Let us focus on Jesus. Let's be spend our time worshiping Jesus. Let's be praying to Jesus. The song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And all the drama of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, can we focus on Jesus? Develop relationships of mutual encouragement. Keep focused on Jesus. And finally, as we try to land the plane, respond to the voice of the Lord. Respond to the voice of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 says, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you'll hear his voice, don't harden your heart, as in the rebellion. Verse 16, it says, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart, as in the rebellion. We don't have time to say much more about this. But I know that Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 tells us, the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. My friend, right now, as the Spirit of God, as the Lord Jesus Christ is standing at your heart's door knocking, are you going to let him in? He wants to come in. Let him in. Talk to him. Tell him about your crumbling faith. Tell him about your struggle. Tell him how difficult you have been finding it to follow through. Ask him for his strength and his help. Let him know today you are recommitting to him, recommitting to trusting him, recommitting to walking with him, recommitting to put some of these principles into practice. Let him know that. Do it. Don't risk losing your spiritual inheritance.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.